And let me say it like this. And the other night I started to get into it and I backed off because I saw you wasn't ready for it. And then tonight I said, well, all day practically I thought I'll comment on that tonight. And just before service I thought, no, I still don't feel like I should do that. So I'm just talking to you about these things. Over in that area, the things that he's doing is going to affect the entire world, and especially the Jewish people. It's going to have such a tremendous effect on the Jewish people until they are going to be in a terrible condition when Mr. Reagan finishes. And the whole world is going to get into war because of what Mr. Reagan is doing there. And when Mr. Reagan strikes on this occasion, it isn't going to be like it was before. Before, it scared the people so bad, including Russia, that they didn't retaliate. But this time, they'll retaliate. When he strikes this time, they'll retaliate. So it means the end of the world. It means the third great world war and what they call the Star War. So we're right on the verge of it. Everything is lined up for it. That means the end of the world. And that means that the saints of God will be going out of here. So whether ready or not, you know, when God gets ready, whether you're ready or not, you have to go or you're left behind. So everything is shaping up to that, and we'd love to go into it spiritually. You know, I can comment and I can say those things, and what I say is worth no more than what Mr. Reagan says or what anybody else says. You know, and they would accept the words of the celebrities far before my words. But nevertheless, I can give a proof of it. I can give a spiritual proof of it and a scriptural foundation for all of the spiritual proof that I offer to where your minds cannot doubt it in the least. But we're not going to try to get into that. But I am saying this to you, that things is real close. Things is happening. Somebody would say, well, if you believe that, Brother Pike, why are you buying a fire truck? For the same reason that whether you believe it or don't believe it, you'll eat breakfast tomorrow morning if there's any breakfast to eat. Why do you eat breakfast if you think the end of the world's here? Why worry about breakfast? Why worry about dinner, and especially going to the milkshake stand? You see how foolish people can get in their minds? The Bible speaks of the servant that occupies till I come. Blessed is he if I so find him doing, taking care of my people, watching after my people. If Jesus was coming tomorrow, I'd want to do all I could today to help the poor, the needy, to help you be saved. If Jesus is coming 10 days from now, 3 days from now, your house could burn down and my house could burn down. You could lose your life, and we might be able to save it if we were active and alert. So this is the way I feel. And I want Betty to wash my socks. I want her to wash my clothes. I want to wash my face. You know, if the Lord's coming 3 days from now, I still want to wash my face. I still want to be clean today and a testimony today. I don't want to get foolish. I want to be wise in what I do. You say, well, you're foolish in what you say. No, that's not foolish at all. That's to show you your foolishness because you think that way, of how foolish it is to think like that. So I want to do what's right. I want to do everything I can. I want to be excited about the things of God. It's like Pete doing those artistic things. I need a lot of that. As a matter of fact, he's doing that for one of our books, Little Glass Slipper. Brother Chris, that has come over from India, Chris has agreed that after reading the book on the thunders that is very deep to him. And he's interested in it and excited enough that he would like to translate it into Tamil. And Brother Chuck has come to a benefit that we did not have before as to using our computer that you purchased to set the books in order as to the sermon. Numbers of the ladies are taking the sermons off of tape. And Chuck is going to computerize them. And then by the means of computerizing, he is able to send them straight into the machines of Atlanta. And they're in the big city of Atlanta, Georgia. The machines can pick them up, run them through, and set them in order for printing. Send them back to us, and only cost us perhaps maybe $15 a book, which is fantastic. We're trying to come up with what they call a Mergenthaler. Is that right in the pronunciation, Chuck? A Mergenthaler, which is a printout or a composer. We've had a couple of composers, and we've used them to the best of our ability. And they're gone out. And they're out of date besides. And we've given some away. Printing machines and typesetters and whatever. We paid thousands and thousands of dollars for them. Just a couple of them was $10,000 or thereabout. And I need to get another one. It's a different kind now. It's solid state. It's an electronic, altogether different, far more efficient. Our work has increased. We need it desperately. And it will not only do the printouts for the books, but it will do it for the music. Our songs and music, it will do that, which is a great asset. Already Chuck has come up with something concerning this musical thing that we bought a few days ago that can connect it to the computer and bring out some musical printouts. But in the Mergenthaler, this could not only bring us some printouts, but whereas Randy is having to take each character so far as the rub off, he's having to put it on the sheet music. One little character at a time, one note at a time. But with the Mergenthaler, it would just print it right out. It'd be ready for press. And we not only need this, but we need a folder. We need a folder. The folder that we have is efficient. We've used it quite a while, but it is not adequate for the purpose. It's too small. We had a bigger folder, but seemingly only Brother Atlee could use that great big folder. So we've had to lay that aside, and we're going to have to get another one that would be a little more unique for our purpose, something that Brother Stevie can handle or train somebody in on, because we're running way behind. They refer to it as a bottleneck, that everything runs real smooth on the presses and gets over to the cutters. And Brother Gilbert, he gets his job done on the cutters, and then we bottleneck in the folder because we can't get through. It suppresses us in such a way that we can't get our needed production. So we've got to have a folder. And there's a number of other things. Brother Taylor is complaining. He said he's got to have a typewriter. We bought a couple of new Olivettis here a while back, and IBM. IBM Composer and an IBM machine, and another typesetter that was a Verityper. Thousands and thousands of dollars we bought them new. But, like I say, some are out of date, some are worn out. They use them so regular. I know that you don't realize the wear of this machinery and the different things that we have. But these men in the past have bought picks that the picks, I'm sure, that that's no exaggeration, that from end to end there was that long or longer. And these men, with their hands, have literally worn them out down to little nubbins. And they've dug, they've worked like that. So you can imagine what has happened to the machinery during the years. So I told Stevie, I said, Stevie, we'll get together, and the Lord willing, in your department, I'll spend $25,000 in the printing department to where you can get a few of the things that you need. That's not what I need to spend down there so far as what I could use. I could spend probably three times that much and maybe not have all that I could use down there. But $25,000 will get a few of the things that I need. And I feel like that if we just paid off about $200,000, that we ought to be able to afford at least $25,000 in the printing department. So this is no problem. My faith is adequate for the purpose. I see it very easily where I can do it, no problem at all. And I told Steve and Chuck just to mark it down, and we do that. I'm not talking about $25,000 for the supplies. I'm talking about for a few things as to the machinery, because we need thousands upon thousands of dollars for supplies with a regularity. They've sent off, did they get the rest of the day stars off, Betty? All of them are gone. We've sent off approximately 50,000 day stars to 50,000 churches. And we're getting response from different type churches, even including the Nazarene church, that's asking for literature. Now we've got almost 10,000 more churches that we must mail off. They're ready to go. We've got to get the Daystar printed and get them off. And within a few days, we'll have another 10 or 11,000 churches that we've got to get these off to, which will give us about 70,000 churches. And we're moving on. Within a few days or a week or so, we should at least hit 100,000 mark in the churches. We should have Chilton, not too far off. Would it be how far? A month and a half. Within a month and a half, if everything goes in stride, we will have reached 100,000 churches across the different places of Canada and Puerto Rico and the United States, and churches of all kind, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, UPC, every kind, Assemblies of God, Churches of God, non-denominational, whatever. But we don't plan to stop at that unless the Lord stops us at that, because, as I say, we have a potential of reaching somewhere around 300,000 or something under 300,000 churches, and we're planning to move on toward that. But I want us to stay in stride within the next little bit, because I want to reach at least the 100,000 mark to where we can know that we've reached that many churches. And of course, we could say a lot about this and why that we're doing this and why that these things are happening. And of course, like Sister Elwin's departure at this time, I was going through some things just to tell Sister Betty the revelation of what had taken place. And Susie had kind of pressed me into a corner, and Dale had also done that before they left. And I had said some things to them concerning these things. But anyway, maybe one night we'll get to elaborate a little bit on some of it. I want to read a little scripture. I've got a lot of other things I'd like to say to you. A lot of other things. But I've taken quite a bit of time just saying these things. I want to read just a little bit from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. And I want you to think on these few verses. I know I didn't have any special singing tonight. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I have quite a bit of special singing, and sometimes I don't. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now I want you to listen to that. I'm just going to read a little scripture to you. This is the word of the Lord that came to the prophet Isaiah. This was the word of God. This is how God Almighty feels when he looks at you and I. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. All right. Notice these two or three things. I'll comment on it, and then we'll close. It says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. He goes on to say, a sinful nation or a people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, forsaking the Lord, provoking the Holy One to anger with the things that they're doing. He said, you've been stricken. Why stricken you anymore? He said, you're going to continue to revolt. Though I stricken you, though I let Satan come upon you, though you get sick, though you die with cancer, the nation, the people, though you have all kind of wounds, sick in the head, the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot, there's no soundness, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Nothing to bind them up. Your cities are desolate. He said, but with all of this, he said, you're not going to do any better. With all of this correction, with all of this strickening, with all of these diseases, with all of these problems, he said, you're going to be a sinful people, an adulterous people, an evil, gossiping, backbiting people, a fault-finding people, an evil-surmising people, a double-minded people. He said, with all of your sicknesses, your hospitals filled up, with all of the stricken as to being in prison, being bound, going through the chastisements, all of these things, no happiness. Bodies are always sick and sore and wounded. Can't enjoy life. Can't enjoy what you eat. Can't walk out on the street because of sinful men or murderers or liars or cheats or whatever it might be. You can't do anything. He said, but why bother with you anymore? Why bother with you anymore? He said, it isn't going to do any good. All of this hasn't done any good in strickening you. He said, so why bother with it anymore? He's about to wipe the whole thing away, he says. About to wipe the whole thing away. And folks, that's where we're at right now. He's on the verge of wiping the whole thing away. He is disgusted. You know, if you chasten a child, you chasten the child for his benefit, that he might return to the ordinances of the right way of life. But if chastening him isn't going to do any good, why bother? Why bother? First, it's a minor thing. The judge puts you in jail. First gives you a fine. Next puts you in jail. Then maybe you serve a little sentence. And next he sees you're still not going to do right. You're out. You're still routed. The first news you know, you kill somebody. He sends you to the electric chair and that's the end of it. So this is where we're at. The whole body is sick. No soundness in the body. A revolting people. I've raised up children and they've rebelled against me. And God is about to make an end of the whole thing. So, what can you do? Like a song I was writing today. What can I do? When people know that sin is sin and they continue to sin, what can you do? See, what can you do? What can God do? I just want to make mention of these things to you because I've already talked to you quite a long time about different things as to the community benefits for better service for Christ and more production as to the fields of labor of feeding the needy. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to feed the orphans and the widows, keep yourselves unspotted from the world, come out, be a separate people. So then, I only mention these things that it might help us to have a better community, a closer walk with God, united and knitted together more closely and stronger in that we are a peculiar people, zealous of good works, and hated by all people. The Bible said, "He shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." And since we are, then we're binding together. We're coming together, not only in this little group, but across the world where we find our brothers and sisters. They're knitting together, and God has let, He is allowing the crushing impacts of the enemy to come closer and closer so that we will search out one another and come together. And God is allowing this, and we're doing this. So let's forget about the world. Let's pull away from the world. Let's don't make any plans for the world. Don't try to get out into the world. We have numbers of people that's been greatly disappointed, especially boys and girls, thinking that they was to get out there in those waters. The Bible likens people into waters. Not realizing that those waters are full of shark. Those waters is where you find the octopus that pulled you under. Those waters is where you find all of the horrible, hideous creatures that's deadly, that can harm you. In those waters. So you want to stay with the church. David said, "And the Lord leadeth me beside the still waters," which is the people of God, the peaceable waters. All the ways of God are peace. "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." When you're all scattered, tore up, about to go crazy, don't have any peace of mind, God is the one that restores your soul. He gives you peace. He gives you rest. He gives you the peaceable knowledge of God that's easily to be entreated. And you can have a wonderful, full life. follow God. Let me say this in closing. It's like I told my Danny the other day. I said, Danny, you're fixing to turn 18 years old. I said, if you can't do right, then you'll have to get you another place to stay. And there's going to be some letters that's going to be wrote to you concerning your children. And to whoever. I've got some that's living on the campground with their long hair, their ripped open shirts, smoking, cursing, going off doing their evil, and then just coming back living on the campground. And you're going to receive some papers asking you to do something about it. We're not going to try to force your child away from home. We're not going to do that. I've said this a number of times. If one of them goes out and they wallow in the slop of the world and they come back just to spend enough time at your house to sling it all over you and us and to defile what we're doing, they're not living at home anyway. You're not protecting them from anything. And you're going to be asked to do something. Now, you might say, well, I don't feel like you're forcing my child off from home. We're not forcing your child off. You have the liberty of moving whenever you get ready. Taking your child and move. Being right with your child. Staying right with your child. Wherever your child goes, you go right with him. But if you choose to be on the campground, then you're going to have to make a decision. All right, so we're going to be just as congenial, just as godly as we can. I have some on the campground that won't even come to the men's meeting. They attend service when they take a good notion. They do what they want to when they get ready. And their children do what they want to when they get ready. And they dress like they want to and act like they want to. And nobody does anything about it. Whereas, I don't feel like putting money into properties and these kind of things to allow that kind of thing. One bad apple will corrupt the whole barrel. I've got people that's moved off of the campground because they knew that their children were going to be corrupt, and they saw them coming to a certain age, and they knew they was going to be corrupt, so they went out and they bought them places or rented them places or got off of the campground so that they could do what they wanted to and keep their children at home. Which I have no objection to. That is their prop. That is their sovereignty. That is their rights. That they have all the right in the world to do that. All the right. I have no objection. As a matter of fact, I'm very appreciative of the fact that they would do that if that's the way they're going to think and that's the way they're going to be in life. But on the other hand, let's look at it another way. If you're not going to think like that, then you need to do something. You need to do something. So whatever you want to do, that's your privilege. We're not going to hurt anybody. No problem. No problem at all. All right, I just want to mention that because Brother Taylor's going to be getting out some papers pretty soon now. And the rules and regulations that was given at Little Bethlehem at the beginning, you was to conform to those rules and regulations. It was nothing but biblical standards to protect you and to protect God's interest and to protect the virtues of Bethlehem. And it was clearly understood that that was why the way that you came on the campground, that was what you was to do on the campground, and that is the way that we all agreed that it was to be done. So I love you. We'll do anything that we can for you, and we expect you to work with us. You love the Lord. I never will forget when we spoke of these things on one occasion. Somebody said they wouldn't do them. They'd do like they wanted to. And Brother Pike wasn't going to move them. They're going to stay right where they were at. I said, no problem. They came right into my living room to show out, to act up and to tell me. I said, no problem, no problem. We won't worry about it. I said, I'll just pray. And when I prayed, the place burned to the ground. They didn't have a home. They didn't have nothing. I said, the Lord will move you when he gets ready. I prayed, and the Lord immediately moved. So we won't have any problem about that. That'll be taken care of in the event that you get the wrong idea. All right, let's everybody stand together and worship the Lord. It's like I told Brother Taylor today,
Brother Taylor, he was just about ready to pull his sword out.
Him and Gilbert too. Gilbert was about ready to get his. They didn't like the idea of them not allowing that vehicle to come into the county. And they know it's the boycott. Whereas Brother Branham spoke of the boycott that would come. And they know it's a boycott. So, in the early church, they throwed them into jail. Down in Egypt, they persecuted them. In the days of Esther, they did that. It's always been that way. And even the Israelite people that believe in salvation to the extent that they've been... they do know some things, though they've been blinded in part. Salvation being of the Jews, they've always been a persecuted nation. And will continue to be that way until the Lord makes them the head of the nation. And then they'll judge the entire nation because of their rebellion. And they will have to serve the Israelites. So I said those things for you to get in with me. If you're not willing to join arms with me and join ranks with me, if you're not willing to do it, then you're not part of us. Willing to the extent that Abraham laid his son on the altar. If you have never come to the place to where you can lay your son on the altar, you don't have salvation and you don't have the goods. The Bible said that you're to forsake all to follow me. And if you can't forsake your son and your daughter for God, you don't have the goods. Let's face it. You've never had that genuine born-again experience. I have tried in what we're doing to work with the girls a little more than the boys. Boys can make their way. Girls have a problem. And I've tried to work with them a little more. Not so much with mine as with yours. Mine has had to get out at an early age. Leave the campground at an early age when they didn't even need to be gone. But with yours, I've allowed them to stay here. Some of them have stayed here till they was 20 or 22, 3 years old, trying to work with them when they was living like the devil and coming in and living at your place and you wasn't doing anything about it. And you've reaped, and they've reaped for it. I told you they would reap, and they've reaped bitterly for it. And the others will reap. But I've tried to be a little easier on the girls because I know that they don't have anybody to look after them. And even though when a girl is as much as 18 years old, she's got plenty of sense and she's got plenty of understanding. And if she is fit for anything, she'll start trying to do something about it. And by the time she's 18, if she don't, it's proof that she's rotten. And she's going to be bad. I don't care what you do for her. She's rotten and it's going to show. You can keep her for 25 years or you can pet her or you can give her everything she wants, but she's rotten and she's going to show it. It's a demon spirit. But I've still tried to work with them a little bit to the best of my ability to tolerate all I could as to giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel. But when they are as much as 18 years old, they've had plenty of time to learn to develop the right characteristics, to have some decency and respect for the right thing. So you pray and work with me and we'll work with you, but there's one thing that we require, and that is that we have a unit to freeze Lucifer out, to keep him out of here, or he's going to corrupt your children. There's not much chance for him to corrupt my children. My children are old enough now that though they could be corrupted the more, whatever corruption would be in their life, they've pretty well taken it on. They've dealt with it, and as to the development of their lives, they've come as to thus. But you have little ladies, you have little sons, and you have those that need tender care and watch. Or you're going to be greatly disappointed. You're going to be greatly hurt. At a camp not too far away from here, a man has made allowance. He's made allowance for filth to be there and women that wasn't the right people. And thought he was doing the right thing as to his stubbornness and rebellion. And now everything that he's got is caving in.
And I've already got the report that corruption has struck, and that in this corruption, it is fixing to take its toll on those that are close to him, and fixing to bring dishonor. And an individual come to me a few days ago, and he said he had a dream, and he's been at this place, and he said he had a dream, and in this dream he saw an angel, and the angel went up to a mountain of a great rock, and he saw the angel raise up like a great rod and strike the mountain, and the mountain clave in half, and said when it clave in half, said part of it went one way or as to another way with the other part, and said this other part that fell on this camp, fell on the individual, and said the whole camp turned into corruptions as to maggots working in it. And this is what happens. God gives you over to a reprobate mind when you won't have a love for the truth. And then you see corruption. And then all of these evil spirits begin to work in the camp or in your heart or in your mind. And these terrible evil things come forth. So I'm asking you to work with me at Bethlehem, that that don't happen at Bethlehem, and to where we can have godly people, and we can have a godly source, and we can have the blessings of the Lord in the time of the tornadoes, in the time of sicknesses and afflictions, that we don't have to go through these things that I spoke of. To pray always that we as a people may be accounted worthy to escape cancer, be counted worthy to escape heart trouble, to be counted worthy to escape the loss of our children, and to be able to be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming on the earth. For folks, they're horrible and they're hideous. It's going to take tenderness. It's going to take submission. It's going to take loyalty. It's going to take the love of God. It's going to take a unit. It's going to take having respect for God and one another. All right, let's stand together and let's sing a chorus or two. I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to teach you both the spiritual things of God and teach you the natural ways of life that pleases God. Right now, the people that are accounted for as the seed of Isaac as to the spiritual side, which is those that belong to Christ, are separated from those that are accounted for as the seed of Isaac as to the natural side, which is the Jewish people. They are separated from the natural. That is the natural ordinances, the natural things of the earth, the natural things that you should eat, the natural way that you should be. You're separated from that as to Israel being the head of the nation. But someday God will take the spiritual Jew, the natural Jew, and put them together, and the natural and the spiritual will tie together, and it'll be such a great, wonderful life until I have no words to express it. So right now we have to feel around and ask God to teach us the natural things that will coincide with his spiritual desires and with him as a spiritual God. He has made himself a body, even the body of the Lord Jesus, that it perfectly fits his nature. It is a perfect conformity. And he has perfectly enveloped himself with that human body, that he might, through that human body, fellowship you and relate to you, and you relate to him, proportionally speaking, or by measure, according to what you have put away as to the iniquity. That much you can give to God, and he can fellowship you that much as to the measure that you have eradicated from your life as concerning iniquity. All right, let's sing this song. Let's sing I Love Him. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing it again? I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Now the altar's open as we sing another verse or two. I love him because he first loved me. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the fairest of 10,000, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. Everybody ought to know. And it's our duty to tell everybody so that they will know. Someone told me, that's why I know. Had they not told me, I would never have known. But they told me. And the Bible says to you and I that we should take the gospel, print it, write it, put it in a book, and send it to the churches. We're trying to send it to the churches. Numbers of churches, tens of thousands of churches we're going to send it to, and we have sent it to. But also to individuals across the world, as to the church of the living God that's scattered among the people. Trying to write it, to put it in a book, and to send it to the churches. I trust that you want to be a part of this. I believe that you do. I believe that you do, or otherwise I don't think you would have come to Bethlehem. I don't think you would come to church night after night. I don't think you would try to surrender to God and make your ways conform to what Brother Pike is telling you. If you didn't have it down in your heart that you would like to be a part of the kingdom of God and reach the world for Jesus. Folks, if you keep on, keeping on, we're going to reach the world for Jesus. Not every one of you are pressing in like you ought to press in. You know, some of you are very measly offering your talents and your skills and your abilities. You're very measly offering your substance as to your time, as to your thoughts, as to your adoration, or making every thought to conform to the Lord Jesus. You're not being used the way that you could be used. You know, too much gossiping, too much backbiting, too much love of the world, too many thoughts of your own as to natural things, as to your children, as to your lives, many of you as to trying to run the life of your children. You're interfering with their marriage. You're trying to tell your married daughters what to do and your married sons, or you're interfering with your daughter-in-laws or your son-in-laws, and you're just troubling their lives, and everything seems to be going real well for you. But as some of you that I've watched, and I've seen what you've done and the way you've wrecked homes and the way you're wrecking homes. And I told my wife, I said, there are days coming. I said, the Lord's already let me know that everything is going to go along smooth for them, and then he's going to strike them in such a way that everybody's going to be shocked. It's like the sister that just went off of the scene. I tried my best to talk with that sister. Her mind wasn't right. Her attitude wasn't right. Her thoughts wasn't right. But she one time made an effort to serve the Lord, and I trust that she got right with God before she departed. Because I understand that the night that she departed, that she was talking about me and Brother Branham, and some of the others were singing songs, and she seemed to have really turned away from the things that was pulling at her, and was talking about some of them that was close to her, how that she wished they would come into this area and learn about this revelation. She said, for this revelation had changed her entire life. And thus she drifted off, not having the fellowship, not having that warm brotherhood or sisterhood. She drifted off and had a hard way to go. And I tried to talk with her, but even her companion, he could not see the steadfast living of holiness and forsaking the things of the world. And unawares, and sometimes people in ignorance try to mix darkness with light. And I told him, I said, you can't go to the beaches, you can't dress out, you can't watch the non-virtuous things on television, read it in the papers and read it in the books and do those things. I said, you can't do that. I said, all the time you're doing that, sin is taking its toll. And though you don't realize it, something is happening in your body and in your mind and in your soul, and you're losing out. And sure enough, right at the very moment that the individual that was in control felt sure that he had proved his point, that he had mixed darkness with light, that he'd lived a good life, as to him a religious life, that he had done great things for God, and that he was able to keep up with society and still touch base with the world, and went out and bought a tremendous acreage, gave all of the children places to live, and brought someone in to step into his place. As to his retirement, everything blew up right in his face. Everything. And the individual that passed on thought they were very healthy, taking health food. Folks, taking health food is not the answer. Jogging is not the answer. Trying to look slim and trim is not the answer. Losing weight, that's not the answer. You know, this isn't the answer. Having monetary values and securities in life, that is not the answer. When the sister that was over in the Carolinas passed away, my wife subjected to severe things out on the road. Her body exposed all the time to the cold and everything as we travel, and my little children the same way. But God blessed her. The answer is faith. God blessed her and is still blessing her. But the woman that we stayed there in her home, she died taking health food, the best, the finest kind of home and doctor's care. And now this woman, all of a sudden, taking health food regular, had her children on it, just goes for a checkup and finds out that she's ready to die. And within a few days, though they said 6 months and she would die, it was only a few days and she died. See, walking with Jesus. Don't mix darkness with light. Don't keep gossiping. Don't keep being temperamental. Don't keep slinging your weight around in your home, man or woman, being sassy and haughty and all puffed up and mistreating your children and being brutal. And don't keep letting your children stay at home when they're grown and when they're ugly in spirit and when you know they're living like demons and devils out there and you're just giving them a den to hibernate in. Don't do that and defile the things of God. God will burn your fields. Don't do that. I know you love your children and I love mine. And you do everything you can and you work with them every way you can. But don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Remember, God is going to require those things of you. All right, while you're standing here, I'm going to ask Pete to come up and dismiss us, if he will. And while you're standing here, I want you to examine yourselves again now. Another service, another exhortation. You're one day nearer to eternity. This woman prepared They had everything. Nice brick home, a great income, all the children around, preparing to live, but it only ended up in a hole in the ground. And then whose are all these things? God said to Solomon, or God said to the rich man, then to whom shall all this belong? If you have no treasure in heaven, you have no hope. Don't think that God will let you by with it. While you do have your health, while you do have a chance, don't fail to heed what I'm telling you. Some have not heeded it, and they've run into these horrible situations, and then they repented, and by the grace of God, they overcome, and God took them out of it when they forsook their haughtiness. But still, there's danger that God may not take you out of it. So whatever you do, you've got it to pay for. Every transgression. Remember this as I close tonight. The Bible said if the angels who are greater in power and in might received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, if the angels received that for their transgressions, how shall ye escape when you are a lot less than the angels and you live in little tabernacles of clay? How then shall ye escape? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I say again, the Bible said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while you're young, before the evil days of reaping come. Because what you're doing now, it looks like you're getting away with it because it's the days of youth. And God is allowing these things so that you can have plenty of grace. But folks, in a little while, it'll convert over. And it'll convert over to where you say, oh my God, this can't be. And it won't let up. It won't let up. The Bible said when God begins to chasten, the beauty fades away. When the chastisement begins to come, you'll find out that your features and your body and all that you are begins to change and begins to look wretched and become wretched, and sickness will eat you up. The days of reaping, you'll look back and say, I don't have any pleasure in what I've done. I wished I'd have used some wisdom and never done that. Because I say again, the Bible said, because I am slow to anger. God said, because I am slow to anger, you think that I'm letting you by with it. And you think that I'm altogether in agreement with you and such a one as you are. You think that because I am slow to wrath. He said, but after a while, my wrath will come. And when it does come, I'll deliver you to the judge, and he'll deliver you to the jailer, and he'll cast you into prison, and then you won't come out until you pay the uttermost father. And you might cry, you might repent, you might say all kinds of things that I'm sorry, but the judge will say it's still 20 years, it's still 10 years, it's still 5 years. Cry all you want to, like Esau that sought repentance and sought for the lost birthright with bitter tears, and the Bible said he found no place of repentance. The birthright was gone. So I'm telling you, as your pastor, I'm telling you as one that loves you and appreciates you, that you're going to pay everything you've done, everything that you've said, every place that you went that you ought not to, every rebellion that you've had, every thought of uncleanness that you've allowed to pass through your mind, you're going to pay for it, because there is no blood atonement for willful sin. And willful sin is when you know the right thing or know to do good and you won't do good. All right. While Jim comes to pray with you, or Pete, comes to pray with you, I want you to consider the things that I'm saying. I've raised up children and they've rebelled against me. To the extent that the chastening is so great and the stricken that the asylums are filled up, mental institutions, the jails are filled up, the hospitals are filled up. There's no soundness in the body from the head to the sole of the foot. No happiness anymore. fears and frustrations, the beginning of sorrows, anxieties, bewilderments, complex of life. Can't have the things that you love and desire. Thine iniquities has kept you back from those great things.